Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Thank you for being here today as we begin a brand new month together. Today, Ministry President Dr. Kenneth Hill will share an important update on Southwest Radio Ministries, and we'll preview the latest issue of Prophecy in the News magazine. This Friday and Saturday, Southwest Radio Ministries will be in Bel Air, Kansas, for our Prophecy in the News live event. Friday and Saturday, May 3rd and 4th, come out and hear Larry Spargimino, Greg Patton, Micah Van Hus, Larry Stamm, Josh Davis, Clayton Van Hus, and Dr. Rob Lindstedt. A special One World update will be shared, biblical mysteries will be revealed, and the latest update on what is happening in Israel. All this and much more will be covered at the Prophecy in the News live event this Friday and Saturday, May 3rd and 4th. Register today for this free event. Seating is limited, so register today. Visit the events page of our website, swrc.com, or register by phone, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Prophecy in the News live, this Friday and Saturday at Sunrise Christian Academy in Bel Air, Kansas. Here is today's host, Staff Evangelist Josh Davis.
The latest issue of the Prophecy in the News magazine will discuss apologetics and archaeology. So I'm joined in the studio by the director of our Affirm Apologetics branch, Clayton Van Hus, and the editor of the Prophecy in the News magazine, Lees Cutshaw. Clayton, welcome back to Watchmen on the Wall.
Well, thank you, Josh. It's great to be here. Excited about this.
And Lees, we're excited to welcome you back to Watchmen on the Wall, too.
Thank you. I'm not an expert on either apologetics or archaeology, but I'm tickled to be here with you all.
Well, we're excited to discuss these things, and Clayton is involved very much so in archaeology and in his studies, but also in the field as well, and he's got some exciting things coming up soon. But Clayton, why don't you give us a run through of some of the articles that people could expect to read in this issue of the Prophecy in the News magazine?
Sure. Well, first of all, I would like to start with Lees mentions that she's not an expert in archaeology or apologetics, but what she is an expert in is putting together one of the best magazines that I have seen. And with this edition, she has really outdone herself. Mm-hmm. And what we're looking at in this edition is a collection of apologetics and archaeology. And that is what Affirm is all about. What we do here, Affirm, of course, being our apologetics branch here at Southwest Radio Ministries. And of course, I am an archaeologist, so I do a lot of my apologetics through that because archaeology is a great avenue for studying the historicity and the accuracy of the Bible. And what we find is the Bible's accurate. So many times it's been attacked. And I said, well, the Bible's not accurate because, you know, here's what we know about history.
Yes.
But turns out what we dig up in the ground is the same thing we read. In fact, one of our articles, I'm going to go ahead and start with that since we're talking about it.
Yeah.
One of our articles is When Archaeology Does Not Match the Bible. And that's by Abigail Levitt. She's the assistant director of the dig at Shiloh, which will be taking place here very shortly in Israel. And so she's an expert archaeologist. She's living in Israel working on that. And she has been to a lot of biblical digs, and she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, and it's amazing, too, that the dig is going on in spite of all the things that Israel has gone through recently. Why don't you touch on that for just a second, Clayton?
Sure. So we've had all of these issues in Israel. We have this war going on. We have rockets flying. We have, of course, everything that happened on October 7th. And yet, Associates for Biblical Research, which is our consortium of evangelical archaeologists, our dig is annually at Tel Shiloh, which is ancient Shiloh in the Bible. It was the first capital of Israel. It's where they set up the tabernacle during the conquest. It's where the Ark of the Covenant sat for over 300 years before it was moved around a couple of small sites and then, of course, ultimately to Jerusalem. But this was the site where everything happened. This was the site where the high priest would live. This is where Eli was. This is where Samuel lived. Mm-hmm. We've got this dig coming up, and We're excited. We have a few less volunteers than usual, but we still have a very large dig this year. I think we have over 100 volunteers right now who are ready to go over and brave everything that's happening.
Yeah, I've got a friend who takes some tours to Israel from time to time. He's a retired pastor here in the States, and he will say, you know, you got to watch out for this and for that and for this and for that. And then you'll get on the airplane to New York City. So yeah. That's what I said. The most dangerous part of the trip is going to New York or wherever you're flying out of. So oftentimes that's the case. I know that when we were in Israel several months ago, even before the October 7th violence, but still felt very safe. We had no issues whatsoever. And we're just praying for your all's safety and protection while you're there digging. It's a wonderful opportunity coming up later this month for you. Lise, why did you think that this issue was so important to tackle these kinds of subjects and to bring this before people like you have?
We wanted to highlight apologetics, of course, since we have a new section of SWRC on apologetics. And also, we have an expert on the staff that is also an archaeologist. And just as an editor, I liked the fact that they both started with A.
Yeah, right.
Alliteration is really, you know, important when you're a writer and an editor.
A lot of preachers like that, too.
Yes, they do. Yeah. That's right. In their three-point sermons or however many. We just wanted to feature both of these topics that intermingle in such an interesting way, especially where the Bible is concerned.
Yep. And Clayton, why don't you highlight some of those other articles for us?
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about who some of the authors are,
right?
Maybe their background and the emphasis that they wrote in these articles that we have before us.
Sure. Okay, we mentioned Abigail Levitt, which, by the way, don't get used to that last name.
Yeah.
She'll be changing that soon, Lord willing. She's marrying some archaeologist guy during the dig.
Oh,
that guy. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, congratulations.
So yeah, we'll bring her back here. So we also have David Wolcott. David is an apologist. This guy is a self-trained apologist. He reads hundreds of books a year. I met him in Texas. I was the assistant director of a biblical museum where we were showing artifacts and talking about Joshua and Judges, and he came to visit. The man has done some brilliant work, and he is all about focusing on apologetics for the layperson. Mm-hmm. It's not just apologetics. Like there are famous people, famous apologists out there, people like C.S. Lewis or Vodi Bakum or Frank Turek or Greg Kokel, people like that. He's saying, you know, as an individual, as an individual believer, you know, you can learn this.
Yes.
And you can learn to defend the faith. And we are supposed to do that. That's that's our job as believers. Peter tells us that. So we've got an article from him on the Christian layperson and apologetics. Of course, you have an article, and I've not read yours. I don't even know what it's. Tell us about it, Josh.
Yeah. So it has to do with truth. Yeah, put me on the spot. Thank you. No, it has to do with truth. There's different schools of thought when it comes to apologetics, and I don't want to get into all that on this episode, but I was trained in sort of the classical apologetics, which says, go back and look at truth and start there at the starting block of truth and see if people will agree about what truth is or explain to them how truth works so that they can move on to the next step. Because, for instance, if you're telling them Jesus loves you, he has a plan and a purpose for your life, he died on the cross for your sins, and they say, well, okay, that works for you, but I've got my truth, you've got your truth, and they've just undercut your whole argument and you're trying to share the gospel with them. And so if we don't agree with what truth is, then how can we share the gospel with someone? How can we share the fact that God's word is truth? And if truth doesn't even exist, I was having a conversation with somebody a few months ago, and just a random person that I met and happened to be sitting next to, and we got into a long discussion. I kept using the phrase, God's truth, God's truth. And he asked me the question, do you find that people are repulsed when you use that phrase, God's truth? Because he said, I've got several friends that I think would be when they keep hearing somebody talk about God's truth. And so I just went back and unpacked some of the basic definitions for how truth works. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we can't make up our own definition of truth, you know, with that comes to your money, when it comes to your medicine, when it comes to, and there's Lee's alliteration, medicine and money. But, you know, I don't walk into the bank with a check for $500, let's say, and the teller does their thing on the computer, then hands me a receipt and it says $5 has been deposited into my account. If they have their truth and I have my truth, I have no basis to argue with them over. Right. Because they've made their definition, I've made my definition, and I can't object to them being wrong. Nobody would ever be right, nobody would ever be wrong if there was no standardized basis for what is truth and how truth works. And so I think that that's got to be the foundation for all of logical thought, and it's the basis on which all of our world operates, whether you're talking about medicine or money or this whole entire planetary system that we live in. It's all governed by this absolute truth. And so in that article, I wanted to give people some ammunition that they could use to help to understand how truth works, but also how to answer people when they say, well, you have your truth and we have our truth. How do you answer someone like that? There's a simple tactic that I was taught called the Roadrunner tactic, and it goes back to the old Roadrunner and Coyote cartoons. The Roadrunner runs out, and then the coyote runs over the cliff, and then he realizes he doesn't have a leg to stand on, and he drops down, and they got the little sound effect, you know, zzz, psh, yeah. You know, and down he goes. And so with that Roadrunner tactic, you're showing them you don't have a leg to stand on. If somebody says, you have your truth, and I have my truth, you stop and say, wait a second, does that apply to all people or just to you? And you always take these things and turn them on their head, and it shows you that these things can't stand. And it's not just that one phrase, but there's several other phrases that say that, well, truth is relative. Wait a second, does that mean it's relative just for you, or is that true for all people, all places, all times, which is absolute truth? And so in order to argue against absolute truth, they have to use absolute truth. And so they have no leg to stand on. So in the article, I wanted to unpack some ways that people could have this kind of stand and could take this kind of stand upon the truth, knowing that we rest our faith on what is true.
Yeah.
I think Christianity is not a blind leap in the dark into some unknown being that's out there and hopefully he'll catch us and take us home to heaven one day. No, but it's based upon solid evidence that we have and we hold to what is true, what is really real. And that's where our faith is resting in. And so that's what I wanted to write about in this edition of the Prophecy in the News magazine. Yeah. Friends, if you're joining us, you can get your subscription to the Prophecy in the News magazine by going to prophecyinthenews.com. Again, that's prophecyinthenews.com. You can call us at 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Ask for your subscription to the Prophecy in the News magazine. We're joined by Clayton Van Hus and Lees Cutshaw today. Clayton, why don't you go through some of these other articles and identify some of these authors for us?
Sure. What we're going to look at is we're going to look at places we can establish things. It's like you were saying, you have to have the truth, right? You have to have a good solid foundation.
Yes.
And in archaeology, we have something very similar. We have a phrase where we say we go from the known into the unknown. We start with something we know. We start with a time, a person, a place, a thing, an object, whatever that we understand. We know what this is. And as we expand from that where we're digging, then we find we're able to make connections and we're able to walk on solid ground. So we're going to have a lot of that going on in this issue. One that I'm excited about is an article by Dr. Douglas Petrovich. Dr. Petrovich has done a lot of work. If you watch the Patterns of Evidence documentaries, you may have seen him in the Moses controversy. He's an expert in biblical Hebrew, but especially he's one of the experts out there right now in this proto-Sinaitic alphabet. The alphabet is not extremely old. We had things like cuneiform and hieroglyphs where people would draw basically what they were trying to say. Mm. And you would use these drawings to make sense of things. Someone came along, some Asiatic person, some Semite in Egypt, somewhere around 3,700 years ago. Forgive me, I'm pulling it down a little.
Yeah.
Around 3,700, 3,800 years ago, someone came along and they took Egyptian hieroglyphs and they turned them into an alphabet. Of course, we call that the Aleph Bet because the first two letters are Aleph and Bet. They took hieroglyphs, they turned them into an alphabet, and this was a Semitic-speaking person in Egypt. We find the carvings, the inscriptions of this alphabet. We find them in turquoise mines. We find them in places where the slaves were, the Semitic slaves, and we know who they were. We find them recently, of course, the big Mounty Ball curse tablet.
Yes.
It has that alphabet on it. So Dr. Petrovich makes the connection between Jacob and the alphabet. He has a theory on where it came from, and it's very interesting. So he's sharing that with us. So that'll be there. So we can look at, because people would say, well, they didn't have an alphabet to write the Bible when Moses was supposed to. Oh, yes, they did. And it came from where he was. So we have him.
So is this the origin of the Hebrew alphabet then? Is
yes.
Okay.
So this article is Jacob's role in the creation of the alphabet. So very interesting stuff there.
And it's very interesting how Jacob actually is related to the making of this alphabet.
Interesting. I look forward to reading that one. Yeah.
So you've been looking at these and you're seeing, I don't know about you, but as I read these articles as they were coming in, I was pretty excited about all of them.
Yes, absolutely.
And so what's one of your favorites here, Lise?
Well, you just stole my favorite.
Okay.
No, they're all my favorites because I find them all fascinating. But honestly, I think the lead article is definitely near the top of my list, and that was written by, and you might know him, Clayton Van Hus.
Well, that was mighty nice of you to say such a thing. Well, I think we have come to this place in our society, in our Christian society, our church society, where we have certain things that we're interested in, and we look at, we live in a misinformation and a disinformation age. Both of those things are out there on the internet. Misinformation,
yes,
where it's just kind of stuff's put out there. It's not really fact checked. It's just, and it just gets out of hand. But disinformation, where people are purposely saying things that are false. Mm-hmm. And we bring that into the church. I don't know how many people have said, oh, did you know that they found this? They found Noah's Ark. They found the Ark of the Covenant. They found whatever. There's nothing behind that. And yet, you know, that these things are being passed around the church as if they're gospel.
Right.
And so we need to be very careful. So this article is a lot about what archaeology is and what it is not. It's about, let's take a look here. God gave us a mind. God gave us the ability. And we are told, Paul told Timothy to study to show yourself approved to God, a workman who needs not be ashamed. And of course, Luke writes in the book of Acts about the Bereans and how they would take the things that Paul brought them, an apostle of the Lord, and they would double check and say, is this guy right? Is this really in the scripture?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be like that.
And Clayton, don't you think it hurts our gospel witness when we're sharing things from archaeology that's simply not true?
Certainly. If I stand up and I make some wild claim with no background, no evidence to prove it, and I'd make these crazy claims, and then I come and tell you, well, now let me tell you about Jesus. Why are you going to believe me about that?
Right.
If I'm telling you just nonsense on the other stuff.
Well, this circles back around to truth, as you were talking about, Josh.
It does. Lise, what are some other articles that we've got included in this issue of the Prophecy in the News magazine?
We also have an article that sort of I've paired with Abigail's article, When Archaeology Doesn't Match the Bible. Dr. Ron Rhodes, who has written for the magazine several times,
yes,
and is one of your former professors,
he was,
I believe.
Yes.
Has written an article that he shared with us called Archaeology, a Friend of the Bible. So I like that dichotomy, even though Abigail ends up brings us around to the fact that archaeology does often, many, many times, illuminate the Bible.
Right. And we can't leave out Brent Hoefling, who's a pastor in Texas, who's one of the diggers and one of the staff members at Shiloh, who talks about the scripture and the archaeology, the verisimilitudes where things match up and what we can find that corroborates what we read in the text.
Yeah, can you explain a little bit more about what that verisimilitude means?
Sure.
I hear archaeologists throw that around quite a bit, and that's one of those terms that I'm still a little bit iffy on myself.
Right. Okay, so what that's saying is, if the Bible makes a claim. Maybe the Bible says that the tabernacle was at Shiloh, right? Mm-hmm. Then you would think that if we start digging, we would find evidence. Now, the tabernacle was a tent. How do you find evidence of a tent? Well, we can look at the clues in the Bible that says the tabernacle ended up with walls and doors. Well, that tells us there was a permanent structure there somewhere. And also the Jewish Mishnah tells us in two places that they built a stone structure and put the tent over top. It sat there for over 300 years. So they made a temple. It was actually a temple at some point. And so you would think you would find that in the ground. Well, interestingly, we have a monumental structure that fits the size, the shape, the design, and all sorts of cultic, meaning religious, items found around it. We are finding in the ground what we read in the text. That's verisimilitude.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for clearing that up for me, Clayton. Yeah. Lise, you got anything else we want to highlight as we wrap up our time together today?
Well, I believe that we've covered everything except for the J.R. Church classic that we always include. And I think it's not necessarily apologetics or archaeology, but it is about how prophecy seems to scare people or make them think of gloom and doom. Mm-hmm. And archaeology and apologetics are very related to prophecy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was certainly one of J.R. Church's areas of expertise, or his main area of expertise and great love. It'll be interesting for folks to read this article as kind of the culmination of this particular edition.
And friends, we encourage you to get your copy of this edition, but also you can get a subscription to the Prophecy in the News magazine by going to prophecyinthenews.com or by calling us at 1-800-652-1144, 1-800-652-1144. Clayton, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Josh.
And Lise, we thank you too for joining us today.
Thank you.
Exciting information is ready to hit mailboxes with the latest issue of Prophecy in the News magazine. Make sure you're not left behind. Subscribe today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also subscribe at our website, prophecyinthenews.com. That's prophecyinthenews.com. Digital subscriptions are also available, as well as gift subscriptions for family and friends. Prophecy in the News magazine. Subscribe today when you call 1-800-652-1144. prophecyinthenews.com. The first of the month is always a great time to get an update on everything happening here at Southwest Radio Ministries. Ministry President Dr. Kenneth Hill is here to share the challenges and the wonderful opportunities that are right in front of us.
Welcome, my friends. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Kenneth Hill. I'm president of Southwest Radio Church Ministries and am delighted to be here on the Watchman on the Wall broadcast today. I've been asked to give you some update as to how we're doing and what's going on, and I'm glad to do that because it's important for us to share information. We need to be as open a book as possible so that you can know how to pray for us, and if you choose to do so, if you want to follow what God will tell you to do, then it's the opportunities that we talk about that you'll be following up on. It is an important time that we have today, and I thank you for joining me. We are in the midst of the Africa Needs Jesus radio campaign, and we've had a great response. Quite honestly, I think the response has been beyond what we had first thought we were going to see, but it is not beyond what is needed. Does that make sense? There are many, many needs in Africa. I was 19 years old when I lived a summer in Africa, and I saw the need then, but I see it even greater now. This Africa Needs Jesus radio effort has given wings to the idea of radio receivers for every family in the church and beyond the church. It's an important way to provide the good news of salvation to the people of Africa. We have been involved in giving a radio to someone, and in that we give them hope as well. They listen then to God's Word, and they listen to the teaching of God's Word. May I say, we're coming toward the end of the campaign, but you can participate. You can go online to AfricaNeedsJesus.com, or you can call a toll-free number. Get your pen, write this down. This is a toll-free number for the Africa Needs Jesus radio effort. It's 866-777-1875. And we encourage you to participate. Also, at the end of this month, which is now, we come to the end of our anniversary month. We have been celebrating 91 years of service in the Lord's effort. So we've been excited by the fact of the 91 years, and we've been excited by those who have participated. And there have been many who have participated, and we thank you. Perhaps you have not given a birthday gift to SWRC. If you haven't, we would certainly appreciate your gift today. The anniversary month ending does not end the need of the work. We've got lots to do, and we need your financial support of SWRC. Thank you for praying for each of our teachers and each of our staff and volunteers. We thank you, my friend. God bless you richly.
The latest issue of the Prophecy in the News magazine is here. Enjoy the latest sojourns into the world of biblical mysteries, discoveries, and hope for the future. Subscribe today when you call 1-800-652-1144. You can also subscribe at prophecyinthenews.com. Print and digital formats are offered. Gift subscriptions for family and friends are available as well. Prophecy in the News magazine, 1-800-652-1144, or visit prophecyinthenews.com. Tomorrow, we celebrate the National Day of Prayer. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by downloading our SWRC mobile app or by subscribing to our Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.